Yeah, everything I know about you is just like 100 miles an hour all the time.
I mean, it's all or nothing.
Welcome to Made Us. I'm your host, Maddox Weaver.
You're awesome.
I'm taking my dad's job.
Awesome. Just kidding. I am your host, Zach Weaver. On today's episode, I sit down with a good friend of mine and tattooer, TJ Lucas. TJ has done something that a lot of us would like to do, but don't have the balls to do, and that's sit down in the mirror, take a look at yourself, and make the change. He's gone from being in the worst shape of his life to the absolute best shape of his life in the last 2 years, and his story can really help a lot of people because it's all about putting in the work and keeping that positive mindset to just keep moving forward and to just keep working. We also talk a little bit about growing up with siblings, mine on the younger end, his on the older end. If you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, take a moment to subscribe to the show, rate and review the show on iTunes, and share it with a friend. And if you don't listen in iTunes, whatever podcast app you listen to, make sure you subscribe in it and share it with a friend. Sharing the show with a friend helps the show grow and really helps to get these stories out there. If you want to keep up with us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/madeuspodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. And if you want to drop us a line, you can drop us a line at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. If you know someone that's got an interesting story and you think they should be on the show, drop us an email and we'll reach out to them. So I have to say, I had a lot of fun recording this episode. TJ's a really funny guy, and I really think all of you are going to enjoy this a lot. So please help me welcome TJ Lucas. TJ, thanks for joining me today.
What's up, Bubba?
How you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, how was your day, buddy?
Oh, not bad.
Yeah?
A little bit of work, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, that's
all
fun.
Good. A lot of mowing, apparently.
A lot of mowing.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, you're getting ready to go out of town, right?
Yeah, it's close. A couple days.
A little bit of a trip. A
little bit.
Yeah, you're going out of town for your anniversary, right?
10th anniversary.
10th anniversary. You're
putting up with me for 10 years officially.
That's craziness.
A little bit more. I think like 11 and a half-ish.
Yeah.
I think altogether.
But 10 years married.
Oh, 10 years married.
Holy shit, that's good, man. That's good stuff. I think my wife and I are a year behind you.
Yep.
Almost.
You guys got married on the date that we were going to get married on.
Oh, that's cool.
We're going to do June 6th.
Okay.
Right? Well, that's your wedding
date. Yep, that's our wedding anniversary. Yeah,
and we're going to do the year before.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
We're going to do the year before or the year we did? I think we're going to do the year we did, actually.
Okay, so it's still been a year ahead of us, but it's been
maybe
the same anniversary.
The year after. You know what? It's all kind of blurry to me.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
It was definitely going to be the 6th of June. I remember that. And then, you know what? It was going to be the year after we got married. So we got married in 2008, and we were going to do the year after, and we pushed it up just because of certain circumstances, and we thought, like, there's always going to be reasons to put anything off. This is kind of important. Let's just do this now. We both want to do it.
Yeah, you can always do that.
I asked her. She said yes. So that's really all that matters.
Yeah, you can always end up doing that too. You can always kind of tell yourself do it when your time is right, and you'll never do it.
The timing's never right for anything.
That's true.
There's always excuses. If you're going to do something, fucking do it.
That's true. What do you guys got planned for your anniversary? Or what do you guys, I mean, what are you planning
for your trip?
We are going
to take quite a trip. We're going to go to Indy first.
Nice.
And then we're going to go to Mammoth Caves. She has never been there.
Have you ever been there?
I've been there quite a few times with my family. Maybe like 3 or 4 times.
I'll be honest, the caves kind of freak me out. I've never been
there. It's a little weird. It's a little weird.
But the idea of it freaks me out.
So, and especially like the main chamber any of the tours takes you to.
Yeah.
Is like, I can't remember what they say now, 100 and change or 200 and change steps, like physical steps down into the earth.
That's a little bit.
And then it's a huge, like, football arena, basically, underground.
Really? I didn't realize it was that big opening down there.
It's a huge opening. They do, like, seminars and classes and all sorts of things down there. There's, like, cave writings from people back in the day and modern stuff.
Holy shit.
Because kids are assholes.
Oh, yeah, kids
so
are
they take
assholes.
Knives and shit down there and carve shit in there.
That's craziness.
But, yeah, that's where they, like, tell you all about everything down there. And then from there, you can go to different tours or whatever.
Do you have a... anything planned for your actual anniversary?
For the actual anniversary, we decided we were going to do... So we're going to Mammoth Caves for 2 days, and then we're going to go through Knoxville to get to Gatlinburg.
Okay.
So we're going to hit the spot in Knoxville for burgers and drinks.
Nice. Did you, like, find this place or whatever?
Like, we've been going out to dinner a couple times with a client of mine who's now sort of a friend, and then she works with his wife.
Okay.
Joe and Emily. And so they hit up this spot in Tennessee in Knoxville. And it's apparently it's like a bourbon place, which I'm not a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
But they also do burgers.
Oh.
Goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I'm all about burgers.
We love burgers. So they Who posted doesn't? Pictures and we looked at the menu. Elizabeth decided it was going to be a great place. Had me look at it. I agreed.
Nice.
So we're going to hit that up on the way to Gatlinburg.
Nice.
Then we'll be in Gatlinburg for 5-ish days.
Are you guys staying in one of those cabins?
We are. We're staying in actually a cabin we stayed in the very first time we went down there as a couple.
Nice. Look at you being all classy.
Wow, well, that was actually her idea. But
we'll take credit for it.
It's called Cabin Suite Cabin, and we actually have a sign in our home that she found somewhere that says Cabin Suite Cabin.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was not down in Tennessee. It was somewhere up here where she found it.
Oh, that's really cool.
So we've never been to this place called Obergatlinburg.
Okay.
It's a German type of town within a town in Gatlinburg.
Okay. I think I know where that is.
So we're going to go, and you have to take like an aerial tramway to even get to it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
So we're doing that whole Obergatlinburg that day, the day of.
Okay.
And then we're going to go back to the cabin, get dressed in the fancies, and then go out to a nice dinner.
Nice. That'll be fun.
And then I'll give her all the presents.
All her presents.
Yeah.
And you were telling me before we started recording, you kind of came up with a special idea. Do you want to talk about it? Or
Yeah, we can talk about it. It's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, so you said...
So she tagged me in a post. Apparently, I made a post on our, I think it was our 6th anniversary on Facebook.
Okay.
That said she's been put up with me for a yada yada amount of years, and maybe she deserves like an award or something.
Yeah.
And we made a joke about it. It was kind of funny. And then she tagged me in a time hop version of that post the other day.
Oh, thank you, Facebook.
Right. It always does that shit.
Yeah.
So then I looked at it, and she even wrote on there, I better be expecting an award. And I thought, okay, girl, I got you.
That's awesome.
And I just made a couple phone calls, found a place up here, got a fucking trophy and a ribbon printed with stuff for our anniversary on it. I'm going to give it to her.
Oh, dude, that's so funny, man.
I think it's going to be hilarious, frankly.
You're crushing that shit. That's awesome.
I try, man. Anything I think will be funny, I will do or say.
Yeah.
That's... Regardless if it actually is. And you know that about me.
Absolutely, I do.
Foot in mouth plenty of times.
Yep. If this is going to be funny, we're going for it.
Right. If I think one person in the room will laugh at something, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, it's 100% worth it.
Make or break, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know a bunch about you, obviously. Right. We've actually, for the listeners that don't know, we've worked together for almost 9 years.
Almost.
I've known you for 10 years.
Yeah, 10-ish.
So right we've been there. Friends for a long time.
Yep.
But let's tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. TJ Lucas. I am, how old am I? 35 now?
Yeah, that's always a question, right?
Sounds right, right?
Yeah.
It's like 35-ish. And I've been a tattooer for over 12 years now. And I've been an asshole my entire life. But like a funny one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I've got a sense of humor.
Yeah, I do too.
Most people get me. Some people for sure don't.
Yeah, I see
that. And there's the ones that kind of filter away real quick.
Yeah, I definitely see that.
I got a strong sense of humor, strong personality. So you either like it or you don't right off the bat, 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens.
It's actually a good filtering process, frankly.
It is.
It's sort of like the door at the shop, right? If you can't open it, we don't even want to talk to you.
Exactly.
It sticks a little. Give it some effort.
Yeah, I think you got a good sense of humor, dude.
It's there. It's definitely strong.
I mean, we're friends, so we have the same sense of humor.
We're the same
I
kind
appreciate
of person.
It. Yeah, we're right. The same asshole.
There's definitely people that have been in the shop where I bet the two of us there, because we're there every day together except for Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So I bet it's probably overbearing if they don't get our sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because it's two people, one in either ear of them.
Yeah, they probably don't come back, but that is what it is.
Probably not. Yeah, but every shop has that. It's fine.
No, absolutely. So you're a tattooer, been tattooing about 12 years.
A little over.
I know you dig the job.
Love it.
And I know you're a damn workhorse.
Always.
Yeah, it's craziness to me.
Balls to the wall.
Balls to the wall all Everything. The time. And you went through a pretty crazy body transformation recently.
Yeah, it's a decent change.
You really dropped a bunch of weight, packed on a bunch of muscle.
Packed it.
And I say that it was recently. I see it. I see you every day.
Right.
But I know it's been almost like a year and a half.
Actually, it's been 25 or 26 months now.
So longer than that.
Right.
So I'm an idiot for not paying attention.
It was, I only know because it was 6 months to the day from my 33rd birthday.
Okay.
So I woke up at 33 on my 33rd birthday and realized I was for sure in the worst shape I've ever been in my life.
How did you come to that conclusion?
I don't know. I think since I hit 30 wasn't even a big birthday for me. 31 for some reason hit me kind of weird mentally. And so since then, I just take a look at my life and what I'm doing and how I look and just a general outlook on life. And like, if I'm going in a correct direction, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting older and I'm finally maturing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But either way, at 33, I realized like, okay, fat shit. I think you have to do something. Because you're pretty disgusting.
Yeah, that's hard.
Your wife has been putting up with you for a long time.
Yeah, and that's really hard to be able to be honest with yourself about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty brutal in every aspect of my life. So when I start to look at myself, I'm pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Same filter. You look at yourself, you're like, oh, look at you. You're pretty fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, that's hard.
You have all the time in the world. You know the hours you work.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know what we do for a living, so we can schedule however we want.
Yeah, for
sure. So if you need more hours to do something, do it.
Yeah, you make that
time.
Bottom
line. So yeah, I kind of just jumped in, man. Both feet.
So, I mean, you woke up, you said it was right after your birthday?
It was on my birthday I realized I was pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
And I wanted to change, but I wasn't mentally ready yet. I just knew it's on the horizon. I need to make a change. But I know how I am with everything in life. And as soon as I do it, that's it. Like, I'm doing this. And it's balls to the wall in that direction. I wasn't quite ready yet. So 6 months to the day, it was July 11th, 6 months to the day for my birthday, I decided that's it. I was about a week before, I'm going to set a boxing appointment because I've seen advertising around here locally for boxing.
Yeah. What made you flip that switch to like, I know you said it was 6 months, but I mean, was there like, did you finally just talk yourself into it? Or were you finally like, I need to stop fucking putting this off? Or
I think that's more what it was. I'm putting it off. I know I'm putting it off. I can understand that that's what I'm doing and I need to stop. And I know I need to stop.
Yeah.
So let's just stop. And it wasn't, I wasn't trying to do 6 months of the day. That's just how it ended up being. And that's how I can remember it.
Yeah.
Where I made a boxing appointment, you know, I said I could do Mondays because that's my day off. One of my 2 days off. It's my only day off by myself.
Yeah.
And Ben, who's my boxing coach, he does every day of the week. And so he could do Mondays. So I just set the appointment. I went. I didn't do any prep work beforehand. I just went there, decided this was going to be day one, minute one, second one. Went in there and worked until I puked, which did not take long on the first day.
That first day was that bad?
It was bad. I puked for the first 2 weeks.
No shit.
I tried to go home and like do things, supplemental workouts, things at home, but I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Because I was just getting into it. So I was just doing what I thought was right and maybe could get my body to the point where I wouldn't throw up during an hour long cardio exercise, which is basically what he does to you.
Man, going to the gym and working yourself until you throw up is crazy.
He was laughing at me. I think he likes the shit. I knew something was up when he was walking me around the gym and started pointing out all of the trash cans. And I kind of looked at him like, what's this asshole doing? Like, I don't give a fuck about a trash can.
So he was just walking around the gym and goes, there's one.
Yeah, we're standing in the ring and he's like, there's a trash can over there. There's one over there. There's one by the bathrooms. There's three over here. I'm like, okay, I don't give a fuck about a trash can. Let's talk about boxing gloves.
You're like, what am I throwing away?
Yeah, and then like 15 minutes in, I felt weird. And I thought, oh, shit, this is what he's talking about. But I did not give him the pleasure. I knew what he was going after. I took out of the ring. I said, I feel weird. I'll be back. And he's laughing. I could hear him in the background. There's a trash can right by the bathroom. Fuck off, man. Went in the bathroom, let the door shut, and let it rip.
Oh, man, that's intense.
It was about 5 minutes. I came back out, sort of refreshed as much as, I mean, you know me, I'm balls of the wall. So, like, this isn't going to stop me. He thinks that he won. He didn't win. Let's go back out there and finish the next 45 minutes.
So that was your first session.
That was, first session.
When you decide to go back for that second session.
Yes.
Like, how much did that weigh in? Because that would freak me out.
So I was actually trying to prove a point to him because I kept hearing him laugh all week long in my ear. I would just replay that moment. If he knew I was going to puke, I didn't know, but he knew.
Yeah.
Because he saw how fat I was and how out of shape I was. And I thought I could do an hour of cardio. Get the fuck out of here, man. Hour of cardio with no prep work is insane. Especially boxing training.
Yeah.
That's so much different cardio than you're used to doing. It's mountain climbers and burpees, 5 minutes of jump rope, 5 minutes of jumping jack. It's all in succession, one after another. Boom, 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 boom. You do that for a half hour, and then you strap up the gloves, and you box with him for a half hour. Pad work, heavy bag, speed bag. It's one after another. There's no break, which is good, I guess, because it's, you know, it's $15. It's cheap. You get your bang for your buck.
That's all it was?
$15 a session. That's it.
Man, that is killer.
And I found out from him that he tells you you can go earlier, then he gets there for your session and use all the equipment in the full gym.
Nice.
Do your session, and if you want to stay late, you can stay late. They don't hassle you there.
Oh, so man, you were probably in there killing, well, trying to, right?
Not the first couple weeks because it was rough. I was there for literally the 60 minutes and I got the fuck out.
Yeah, I can imagine. You're like, fuck this, I'm going home.
So yeah, the second week he made me puke too. It took longer. It was like a half hour I dealt with it and I was strapping up gloves and then I felt it. And then he laughed, he looked at me and saw it. I was probably draining a color. We've seen it all
yeah.
the time.
Oh yeah, we've seen it.
My lips probably didn't have color because I'm about ready to pass out. Went in there and threw up my guts, man. Came out and finished it, boxed with his ass for a half hour.
That's rough.
And yeah, so I was doing supplemental workouts at home, and it just kind of built from there to the level that I was doing that I kept up for 10 weeks to drop my weight.
So you dropped most of it over 10 weeks?
It was like 10 and a half weeks before we went on our vacation, and I used those 10 and a half weeks to just go, just hammer it.
Yeah.
Get down as much as possible. I was super overweight. I knew I needed to slim way the hell down before I could build anything up, and so that's just what I did.
So you were how often were you boxing?
So I was boxing once a week, but I was doing boxing training at home also, and he had given me a lot of tips of things you can do at home with the equipment that you have.
Okay.
I had dumbbells, I had a treadmill, I didn't have much at the time.
Yeah.
So I just utilized everything as much as I could. So basically, if you break a day down into a morning workout and a potential night workout, you'd have 14 workouts a week. I was making myself doing 12 workouts a week. It would be one of the boxing sessions.
Holy shit,
and then 11 supplemental ones at home.
So you're working out 11 times on top of
On top of the boxing. So it was 12 sessions basically every week for 10 and a half weeks. I did not let myself skip.
Jesus Christ, man.
It's so easy to take it out, man. And yeah. I just know that if I put my head down and I know I'm going to do something, I'm going to fucking do it. So that's what I did. I knew it had to be done. There's no excuses. If you're a fat shit, do as much cardio and working out as you can and don't be a fat shit.
Man, that's 11 workouts a week.
Yeah. And they were probably like an hour and a half to 2 hours each.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like to run. I still don't like to run. So I'd go on the treadmill and set it for 3.5 miles an hour. That's pretty good for my little ass legs.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a run. It's like okay. a fast walk.
Yeah.
Probably like a slow walk for normal people. But I'm 5'3". So it is what it is.
Yeah.
3.5 miles an hour, I'd step on that bitch and wouldn't get off until it was an hour later and I went 3.5 miles.
Oh, wow.
And I would typically do that twice a day.
So you just did a bunch of cardio at the beginning?
Basically. And then I started incorporating boxing stuff.
Yeah.
Like we did weighted punches with him.
Okay. What's that? I mean, I kind of get it, but I don't fully know what that
means. So with him, he does lighter dumbbells, but I push myself real hard. So you grab a dumbbell in each hand, same okay. weight, and you just rock out weighted punches.
Oh, so you're just shadow boxing, but with weights.
Shadow boxing. It's sick. Exactly.
Okay.
And so what I did, because I'm insane with it, is I would jump on the treadmill. And in tune with the treadmill, every quarter mile, it showed me on the little screen, if I went a quarter mile, yeah. I would grab the weights that were sitting on the back of the couch right by the treadmill, and I would rock out 30 weighted punches an arm, and then set them back down. And I did that for the entire hour I was on the treadmill.
That's crazy, man.
And then I would typically, every day, I would do that in the morning and then at night. And then additionally, I would do stretches and workouts and other things on top of the treadmill.
Man, that's craziness.
If you make up your mind, man, just do it. Got to do what you got to do. I knew I was overweight. I knew I had to slim down before I could do any kind of change.
Yeah. So over that 10 weeks, how much did you lose?
So I was 188 at 5'3". 188 doesn't sound terrible, but if you take into account that I'm basically a midget, it's a fat dude, and I was not built well.
Okay.
And so I dropped from 188 down to 147 was the lowest I got, and then basically used that as a turnaround point and started to change what I was doing.
Okay.
I said I dropped it mostly in the 10 and a half weeks, but it was like 30-ish pounds that I dropped in that chunk of time. But I kept the boxing up for about 9 months. We did about 9 months, and then he recognized that I was getting stronger and could do other things. So he moved me to the other half of the gym, which is mainly workout equipment, weights, free weights, dumbbells, heavier dumbbells.
Kind of took you away from the cardio stuff.
Right. Just like introduced it to me and see like what I thought. And I loved it.
Oh, okay.
Did you fell in love?
So you kind of did the boxing training for like 9 months?
It's about 9 or 10 months.
Did you box? I mean, did you box anybody or
didn't box like people. I boxed him. We would do pad work and I would do the heavy bag a lot. I did the speed bag to kind of work on drills and get your form right.
Yeah.
I didn't actually box a person though. He kept trying to get me to box people, but I know better.
Yeah.
And I've seen them box and I'm not trying to get knocked out by a 14-year-old or a 21-year-old. Both of them I've seen box and they are insane.
Yeah.
Because they've both been being trained since they were 3 and 6.
And I'll tell you what, I've been punched in the nose before. That shit hurts.
It's not fun, man.
Like being punched in the nose, That sucks.
It kind of ruined your day.
Yeah.
And sort of the next day.
Yeah.
Depends on how hard you get hit.
For sure.
But I watched both of them train, and the one is his grandson, the 14-year-old, and he's been training him since he was three.
3 years old?
3 years old. Man, get the fuck out of my face.
Holy shit.
I told him, it's not a good look. I'm not a 35-year-old going to, well, I think I was 34, going to get knocked out by a 14-year-old. 20-year difference ain't good.
No, not at all.
No, it's going to give him confidence. It's going to knock my ego down like 18 steps.
That man, if you got knocked out by a 14-year-old, that would be...
I don't think I'd be able to go to that gym again. I have no street cred in that gym at that point.
Didn't Cat Williams get hit by a little kid or something like
he
that?
He probably did. He's like a little kid's age.
I felt like there was a story about that where Cat Williams got hit by like a 12-year-old and it was a big like story.
Yeah, he's like a little kid size, man.
He is like a little
kid size. He probably did.
You say that, but you're like the same fucking height.
You know, yeah, I kind of have that outlook where I like, I know that's where I'm at, but if I can see someone else, I can make fun of them.
No,
until someone holds a mirror up, I'm like, yeah, that's basically me. Yeah. He might actually be taller than me, frankly. I'm 5'3". He's probably like 5'5", but I'm not famous, so it's okay.
That's true. God damn it. So your boxing coach, what was your boxing coach's name?
Ben Williams.
Okay, and he kind of moved you away from boxing?
He did.
Or the cardio part of it, at least?
Yeah, I had done enough cardio where we both agreed that, I mean, I still have more to lose now. I've got a little bit around my midsection.
Yeah.
But I've been building up because I just fell in love with lifting heavy. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't even know where it came from.
So just like powerlifting or like Olympic lifting?
It's not really like Olympic because, I mean, it is benching and I do some hang cleans and power cleans and things like that. So okay. That's Olympic. But it's more just lifting heavy with whatever you do. Just seeing how far you can push your body without hurting yourself.
Yeah.
Like right now I've gained a lot of weight. So I'm 175. I'm back up to that at 5'3".
Hold on.
Yes.
You said you gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Let's make this clear. You put on muscle.
It's all muscle.
Now, I'm looking at you.
Right.
They're just hearing you.
Right, right.
We talk about you coming down from 188. Now you're back to 175.
Yep. I went down to 147. Now I'm up at 175. But it's all muscle that I packed on.
I'm fucking looking at you. You're a brick shit house. Like,
I've heard people say weird things about me. Cock diesel, brick shit house.
Cock diesel.
Yeah, the shit's funny, man. Like, yeah. I hear it and I know that I look different, but you still see yourself how you were at your worst.
Yeah.
And so I still see my flaws that I still need to lose, whereas other people see the transformation more than I can.
It's been a crazy transformation. I mean, and I've been there the whole way
watching
it. And you kind of, you know, as I'm there day to day, and you'll attest to this, when you see it yourself, you seeing it yourself, you don't really see that transformation. You know, you don't take on the full magnitude of the transformation.
Right.
Because you're seeing it inch by inch.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
But when somebody sees you after not seeing you for 2 months, 6 months, a year, it's a massive transformation.
A client just came in the other day, Boyce, my client Boyce.
Okay.
And he hadn't seen me in a while, except for like Facebook stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, you can work angles. Girls do it all the time on social media and make yourself look different than how you look.
Shit, girl, my boobs look great.
So he came in and we were talking for a little bit. And he looked at me and said, bro, you look healthy.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. He's like, healthy. Okay, I think that's a good, it sounds like a good thing.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good. The way he said it, I kind of thought like, it's loaded, I hope in the right direction.
Oh, that's funny.
So yeah, fell in love with lifting heavy, man. Like I said, I'm 175 now. I do sets for reps on everything I do still.
Yeah.
Just trying to pack it on. So like benching, I'll do flat bench 3 times 10 at 225.
Oh, man.
So 50 pounds heavier than my weight. I'm just trying to push it further and further. I want to see if I can do 315.
Man, that'd be cool.
It would be good, but I'm not trying to kill myself at the same time.
Yeah.
Just right to the brink. That's where you push yourself.
Now, when you started lifting, did you kind of just like lift by yourself or did you have some training partners?
I was lifting with Ben first. He was my spot.
Okay.
But I was lifting real light. So I think when I started benching, I was probably 135 is what I was benching.
Okay.
3 sets of 10. And I would just kind of go from there. And then eventually he had these monsters that work out there at the gym that he kept telling them about me and he kept telling me about. And eventually I met them. He kind of like worked it out where he was talking me up way too much. These guys are monsters. 6'3 and 6'1. They're 232, 217. They're big dudes.
Yeah.
Garland and Moose. Dude's name is Moose.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Come on, man. I can't compete with that. I'm 5'3. Get out of here.
You're like, Moose, this is Mouse.
Right, yeah, exactly. Mighty Mouse, hopefully. But some. So we finally worked out a day where we all three came in at the same time and started working. I saw the looks in their eyes when they saw me walk through the door, like, who's this dude? He's so short, he can't do shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't keep all the way up with them, but I kept up with them for the most part for everything. And they finally found out, like, we can all lift pretty much the same.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we would just hammer workouts every week on Mondays.
Yeah.
Three of us. Hammer them out. It was good motivation, man, because I could, some things they would lift a lot heavier on.
Yeah.
And it just gave me goals. That's where I got my 315 bench goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Garland, G can bust him out.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I met that dude. He's a big dude.
He is a big dude. He's got long arms, too. So benching is not easy for him like it is for me.
Yeah.
I probably moved the bar 18 inches.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I got short arms. I got like T-Rex arms. It's still hard to lift, but it's not the same length.
The difference in
motion. He's got to lift a lot.
Yeah.
And same thing when we deadlifted. I think I hit 360 for my biggest deadlift. They were surprised. They were impressed.
Yeah.
But then I watched him do 455. I watched him do 505. And he still had gas in the tank.
Yeah, like, what the
fuck? And he's got to lift it probably twice the level I got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a foot taller than me.
Yeah. What are you, he's 6'3"?
He's 6'3 and 232.
He's
a big boy.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
We all got the same respect for each other after that first day of working out.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, put your money where your mouth is. I've heard about you. Let's see what you got.
That's cool.
It was one of those make or break moments.
Did you kind of know that you were going into that, or did you just like...
I could hear from the way Ben was talking about them that he had been talking about me a little too much.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to go in there with some emphasis behind my lifts.
That's hard when something's been hyped, whether it's a person's been hyped a lot or a movie or whatever it's been. When it's been hyped a lot, you expect a lot.
Right. And I knew I had to just put my money where his mouth was.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
Dude, that's a good way to put it. Put your money where his mouth was.
I heard him betting. I got to man up when I get there. And so I got there and just did everything they threw at me.
That's crazy. So when you started lifting with those guys and lifting heavy, did you continue this crazy, like... I mean, you said you were working like a...
I was doing 11 additional workouts a week, and I dropped off after our vacation.
Yeah.
It was taking a lot of time.
I can imagine. 11 workouts a week, and you said... I mean, at the time, you said you were doing cardio for an hour, but that was twice a day?
That was twice a day.
So 2 hours a day.
On most days, yeah. Yep. Probably 2 to 3 hours, honestly.
Holy fuck.
If I'm being honest with myself.
So I could see... I mean, that's hard to keep up.
And it's in the mornings and at night. I mean... A husband and wife only has so much time together when it's a two-income household.
Yeah.
And I was taking a lot of that time
to
just be by myself and do that.
Yeah, that is hard.
And she understands my journey. She knew what I was trying to do. She knew I wanted to get healthy. She knows how I am.
Yeah.
And if I do something, I'm going to fucking do it. And so it was just like watching that happen in front of her, basically. Like, I'm doing it. I said I was going to do it. Here it is.
Yeah.
So we talked. We had a really nice vacation together. And then we kind of talked about it and realized, like, okay, I dropped a lot. I'm to the point where I can probably scale back and still make progress.
Yeah.
And I agreed. I was probably going too crazy. I knew I was going crazy, but that's just how I am, man.
Yeah.
If I do anything, I know I'm going full force and I probably don't have to, but that's just how I do everything.
Yeah. Everything I know about you is just like 100 miles an hour all the time.
I mean, it's all or nothing. I mean, I tattooed on your hands, but it might as well be on my forehead.
Yeah.
All or nothing.
Yeah. It's like you go 100 miles an hour all the time. If you start something, it's balls to the wall.
Bro, I stopped caring about my body and I let it go for 13 years.
Yeah.
It had been 13 years since I'd done one exercise that actually meant something.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah. When I stopped and did the math, I thought, okay, I had a good run as a fat dude. Let's see if I can have a good run as a built guy.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can do this.
So do you think with you kind of doing this, do you think it kind of wore off on your wife? In a positive way or a negative way?
You know, she was actually already doing this stuff for herself, and I was not on board. She was trying to get me on board because, you know, it's easier as a couple if you're trying to get better together.
Yeah.
Right? So she had already made up her mind that she wanted to do this, and it was probably like a year and a half before I made up my mind that this is it. And so I know, and she dropped some weight, and she like got to the point where she was getting pretty happy with what she was seeing. And of course, I'm happy with her the whole time.
It
doesn't matter to me. Just like with how much I was looking at myself, it didn't matter to her.
Yeah.
You know, you marry that person, it doesn't matter what they think of themselves. You know how you think of them.
Yeah. When you love somebody, you love them. It doesn't really matter.
Exactly. Unconditionally.
Yep.
So she had made up her mind beforehand and I wasn't on board. And I know that was so hard for her to do that because I just wasn't competing with her. I wasn't doing that little in-house competition you always have with people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know,
anything like that. Yeah, she was carving the time out, but she's so much better at carving time out where she would make sure it wasn't with both of us together.
Oh, so it wasn't affecting she your guys'.
Right. She would try to do it on legitimately on her own time. And I know that was harder from now, like working this into my own daily schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know how she did that.
Yeah, that's hard.
I can't do that. Like, because I spend too much time doing it.
Yeah.
And I've scaled it back now, but I still probably work out 8 to 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
It might be more.
You literally need to take time off of work.
Right. Sometimes it seems like that.
Yeah.
That's why I've got work weights.
You do have work weights.
Gotta have work weights, people. If you make up your mind to lose weight, you lift wherever you can.
Yeah. And that kind of goes for anything. Like, if you want to get better at something, you fucking make the time for it.
Yep. Work on it wherever you can. However you can.
I mean, you've seen me. I shoot competitively.
A lot.
And I train a lot, and I've trained doing things at work.
I've seen you scare customers coming in because you're running around with what they think is a madman with a loaded gun.
Yeah.
I know you well enough to know that everything is always safe. There's generally not even a magazine in the handgun.
Yeah.
And you're running around doing your drills, but all they see is, oh shit, what did I walk into? I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's funny to me because I see it from my point of view that I'm training and running around and doing this stuff. And I kind of get their point of view of like, oh, what did I just walk into? But when you say it like that, you're right. Like, especially in today's society, you're like,
absolutely.
I just opened the fucking door and there's a dude in here with a gun.
Well, and you're not even walking around calm. You're literally running with gun held out in front of you. And they probably thought, I just walked into a robbery. Get me the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to make time and train when you can, regardless of what it's for. If you want to get better at something, it's all about doing it.
You know, no matter what it is, working out or whatever, if you want to change something, look in the mirror, see what you're not happy with, change it. It's just that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that note, let's take a quick break.
Sounds good.
Today's episode is brought to you by American Made Muscle Company. American Made Muscle Company is a premium fitness and lifestyle brand focusing on our love for living the healthiest life possible and our love for the country. They offer vintage Americana-inspired designs that are hand-printed on soft, high-quality material. And I'm telling you right now, these shirts are super comfortable. I'm actually wearing one as I speak to you right now. And these are my favorite tees. I have a closet full of them, and I wear one every day. American Made Muscle Company is also currently running what they call the Red Campaign. Red stands for Remember Everyone Deployed. And for every red apparel piece sold, they send a tee to an active duty soldier. That's pretty awesome, and what a good way to do it. And as a special offer to my listeners and my listeners alone, if you use the code MADEUS at checkout, it'll save you 25% on your entire order. And that's MADEUS, M-A-D-E-U-S at checkout, all one word, and save 25%. Once again, that's American Made Muscle Company, code MADEUS. All right, we're back from the break. And while we were gone from the break, we were talking about you working out and all that good stuff.
Yes.
And then you just mentioned that you had built a gym at your house.
I did. Well, my wife and I put together a whole home gym in the basement.
Really?
Yes. So we had like a little thing in one of these spare rooms upstairs.
Yeah.
And she had been pushing me actually to kind of transfer it to the basement, and I fought her on it. I don't know why I do that. I just fight her on things sometimes, and I shouldn't, because she's typically right.
Sadly, and that's how it goes.
It is, man. I don't know. Maybe it's ingrained in our DNA that we're just stupid as guys. But either way, I gave in. We moved to the basement. It's the best thing we ever did. I should have listened to her 2 years prior, you know, when I started working out. But yeah, we moved it to the basement, and of course we've got like a 1,400 or 1,500 square foot basement as opposed to a 200 or 300 square foot room.
Yeah.
And so we just went crazy because that's what I do. So we went balls to the wall down there.
How much of the basement are you taking up?
Right now it's probably up to 2/3 of it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So we had to buy the workout pads for the floor, so that way if I do power cleans, hang cleans, whatever, you can drop the weights.
Are those like the thicker rubber pads?
So it's 3/4 inch rubber pads. And then we bought 4-foot by 6-foot pads, and right now we have 22 of them covering the floor space that we're using.
So I'm terrible at math, but that seems like a lot.
It's a lot because we had 16 and we just bought 6 more, and that 6 more adds in 144 square foot of space.
Really?
Yeah, just the 6.
So it's a decent-sized home gym.
It's pretty big, man.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of equipment down there by now. I've got the best clientele that I tattoo on, and all I have to do is put out a post. I've put out like two or three of them and offer trade for, you know, whatever working equipment people aren't using, and I have got an insane amount of feedback from people.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've got so much equipment down there, mainly from my clients.
Yeah, just working the barter system?
Exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
They love it. I love it. They're awesome. I'm glad I've got them as clients, and it worked out for all of us.
So you're saying your home gym kind of rivals the gym you're working out at?
It's pretty equivalent.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got like 800 pounds in Olympic weights to work with and 300 plus pounds in standard weights. I've got four different types of equipment down there. I've got free weights, dumbbells. I got everything you need, man.
So it sounds like you need to talk your wife into putting a boxing ring down there.
That's the next step. You've got the speed bag that I can get from your house. That and all true. I need is to find a Muay Thai heavy bag. So it's 200 pound bag. It's hard to find those, but if you find them on Marketplace, they're usually pretty cheap.
Nice.
You just got to gamble with if it's cut open and or not, and they didn't take a picture of that cut.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're mostly sandbags.
People are shady as fuck.
People are shady. It happens.
Oh, man, that's funny. So is that where you've transitioned to most of your workouts is from the gym to your home gym?
So instead of doing the supplemental workouts at home in the spare room and then working out at the boxing gym, I now just basically work out at my own boxing gym in the basement with all of the weights I need, all the dumbbells I need. It's 15 stairs away from the main floor, so I have no excuse.
Yeah. Do you work out with your wife, or do you work out by yourself?
We do work out together, typically every morning throughout the week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Monday through Friday, because she works on Mondays. I do not. So some Mondays I will work out with her down there for a little bit. And then, of course, I go back down because I'm insane with it.
Yeah.
And I'll wait till she goes to work, and I'll go back down for like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah, because you're a lunatic.
I am. It happens. Like I said, it's like 8 to 10 hours a week. So Mondays are usually my heavy days, 2 to 3 hours is what I end up doing.
That's crazy, man.
I've got it broken down into sets. Mondays I typically do anywhere from 50 to 70 sets.
Yeah, and that's, so it's mainly weights. Are you doing any cardio right now?
I don't do much cardio. What I do is when I start working out with the weights, I do not stop and let my heart rate drop until I'm done. So it ends up sort of being cardio. I'm putting it in quotes. People can't see me.
Yeah.
It's not cardio. I know it doesn't work your body like cardio, but if you keep your heart rate up the entire time, you end up burning more calories as if you're doing cardio.
Yeah.
No, so I just try to maximize it because I hate doing cardio.
Yeah. A lot of people hate cardio.
Hate it. Runners don't like running, bro. Cardio sucks.
Yeah, cardio does suck, and I'm a runner.
You are a runner way more than I am.
Yeah. And
I know you get into your mindset.
It's hard to run, but I love running.
I think it's the start, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to start, but then your body kind of takes over and your brain takes over and puts it into autopilot.
Yeah.
Which is how I feel when I work out. When I go to run on the treadmill, my brain tells me, turn that bitch down to walk, and you walk the whole time.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, for sure.
It's really not.
So you're kind of putting in that work, you know, with your wife and by yourself and just kind of busting your ass. Do you have a goal in mind?
I do have a goal. I kind of want to get up to my starting weight at 188 and then take a side-by-side photo of what I was shaped like and what I am shaped like and how it's the same height, same weight.
That's crazy to see that difference in those two. You know, obviously you're not there yet, but even if you took a side-by-side now,
Time Hop has a way of showing me these really shitty pictures.
Yeah. What, you're 15, 13 pounds shy of your weight-ish?
Like 175, so yeah, I'm 13 pounds shy of 188.
So even now, your side-by-side would be crazy. I could imagine your side-by-side.
I just did one the other day. I didn't post it because I'm not a selfie guy, and I feel like I post too much already because I've never done that in my life.
Yeah.
But when Time Hop shows me a really shitty picture of myself from 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and then I look at myself now in the mirror, I think like, okay, if I can do it, surely anybody can do it. I mean, everybody's not balls to the wall.
Yeah.
But over time, I mean, I've done it over 2 years now. So even if someone takes 5 years, you can make the change.
Yeah, it's that mental mindset. You know, the physical part is where you see the change.
Mm-hmm.
But that mental mindset of just doing it and putting in the work every day to make yourself better is really what makes you change.
And luckily, I'm one of those guys where when I make up my mind gets made up first, and then I do whatever it is I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But a lot of people I realize are not wired as fucked up as I am. And so usually you have to do a new pattern and get that pattern established and then do it. And then your brain takes over and says, okay, we can do this. We can keep doing this.
Have you always been like that, or is that something that's more recent? I mean, did you?
I'm pretty sure I've always been like that, man.
Yeah, even from a kid.
Yeah, just when I want to do something, that's all I'm gonna do until I'm sick of it, and then I'll do something else.
Yeah,
and that's just kind of every aspect of life. I mean, I didn't even really set out to tattoo. The opportunity got thrown in front of me and said, "Do you want to meet with this guy and maybe talk about an apprenticeship?" I thought, cool, I was 23, I was kind of in between things, I was training to become a chef, but wasn't sure if I wanted to go that route.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm like, you know, I got an open mind pretty much about everything, so let's do this. Met with a guy, he offered me an apprenticeship, and 12 and a half years later, I'm still tattooing every day.
That's really awesome. How, I mean, those career paths, even though they're completely different, they're kind of similar. I mean, you have to learn, they're very creative, obviously in a totally different
skill.
You have to develop a palate via your mouth in one.
And you're still using your eye too, because you have a plate set up.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was working in bistros and fine dining establishments under different chefs and kind of learned what they were trying to throw at me back when my title was Salad Bitch, was my first official title in a restaurant.
Salad Bitch.
Yeah, it wasn't written on paper, but that's what everybody referred to me as, including the executive chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just kind of figured out they're setting things a particular way on purpose. They're repeating that so that it's the same product every single time for every client.
I like food, obviously, but I don't really think about the presentation. But the presentation is a huge deal.
You know, I kept hearing from all these chefs back then, they kept saying the same phrase, and now I hear it on Food Network. You eat with your eyes first.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They set a plate down in front of you, you look at it before you do anything.
Yeah.
Unless you're insane. And you're just starving from hunger and you go at it without looking or smelling at anything.
Yeah, like it's just a dog.
Right, but that's usually people that you could give them a hot dog at that point and they would think it's gourmet.
I like hot dogs.
I mean, I like hot dogs too, man. I still eat peanut butter and jelly. I make my wife make me grilled cheese sandwiches. She makes them better than I do for some reason.
How does she make them better than you?
I don't, you know, I think it's a mental thing, honestly, but like she did it once and it turned out great. So now I just look at her and smile and she's like, "Oh, you want me to make you a sandwich?" I'm like, "Please make me a grilled cheese. They're so good."
Oh, that's funny. How long did you train to be a chef?
I was probably in the process of training in actual fine dining establishments for about 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
But I worked in, you know, various restaurants before that. Bob Evans was like a one that everybody knows. It is not a fine dining establishment in the least, but it's kind of where I got my foot in the door into cooking and realized like, oh, I think I actually like this.
Oh, that's neat. I mean, yeah, like you said, that's not really, everybody knows it's not fine dining.
Yeah, it's really not. Not even a stone's throw from it.
But you're a cook.
Right, yeah. You're basically a cook. You're a line cook is what they called it there. And then I kind of went from there to Applebee's, went from Applebee's on to, it's called the Bistro on the Race.
Okay.
Started working there. And then I had a best friend of mine at the time that was going to a culinary institute. It's called NECI. It's the New England Culinary Institute. It's one of the more prestigious ones. I shouldn't say most.
Yeah.
I'm not in that industry, so I don't know what's what anymore. It was one of the more prestigious institutes at the time.
I just had a guest on recently that went to
Le Cordon Bleu. Le Cordon Bleu. That's one of the ones that has, I think, one of the most campuses around. So I think there's probably one in Chicago. Pretty much every major city, I think, has a Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh, okay.
Or a CIA is another one.
Yeah.
Culinary Institute of America.
Okay. I've heard of that one before.
That's another one that's kind of spread out.
Yeah. I don't know shit about that. I just know I like food.
Yeah, no, food's delicious. And it's essential.
Yeah, you're right. And then you kind of snowballed it off into tattooing.
I did. Yeah, I just kind of fell backwards into it and decided I'd have an open mind and let's see where this goes and see if it's something. And
yeah.
Mom tried to talk me out of it for a little bit.
As they would.
Yeah. Well, it's not the same as cooking, man.
No, that's for sure.
She didn't want her baby son, her third-born, to come home with tattoos on his face. And now look at me. I got two of them.
Oh, yeah. It happens.
It does happen.
And now you've kind of snowballed off into being almost a power lifter.
I mean, yeah, that's not really a goal, but if I get there, it is what it is.
Yeah. Have you thought about that?
People have asked me. I've got a couple clients that are Olympic lifters, and they've tried to talk to me into getting bumper plates, which are different from the Olympic plates that I have at the house. They're actually made so you can drop them and they don't break the bar or break anything.
Oh, yeah.
So they're made for doing power cleans and snatches, clean and jerks, things like that. The Olympic lifting techniques.
Yeah.
I'm open to it, but I'm not really like looking for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where if my path leads me that way, I'll do it. If it leads me somewhere else, I'll do that.
I could see you doing it.
Yeah, I could see me doing it too. I mean, it's pretty easy for me because, like I said, my lifting is not near as much of a distance as taller people.
Yeah.
So it would be a lot easier for me to do those kind of things. Plus, I'm like an army ant anyway. I'm already lifting heavier than my weight on a lot of things.
Yeah. And you really have that like workhorse mentality of always wanting to go and go and go.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm also one of those people where if I can read it on their face, they don't think I can do something.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it today.
Yeah, it builds on that extra motivation.
Right. We will show you what you think about me.
That's cool.
It's kind of like a make or break, you know? It's a good thing and a bad thing all in one.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it for sure. Anytime you get that extra motivation of somebody doubting you, mm-hmm. it pushes you. And I've kind of always been that way too, is when somebody says, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think you should do that.
Yeah, we're doing it today.
I don't think you can do that.
Oh, that's a big one right there.
That's hard.
It's that wording exactly.
Yeah.
If someone thinks that they have you made up in their mind for you,
yeah,
that's it. I'm proving you wrong today, this minute, if I can.
Yeah.
You don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
Yeah.
And that's I'm capable of doing something, I will prove it.
Yeah. And that's a big thing is really putting that mindset forward of like, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
You know, come to think of it, that probably stems from growing up with two older brothers that are probably about as brutal as I am.
Yeah.
I'd imagine I get it from them.
So how much older are your brothers?
So we're about 3 years apart each. I think my next brother, Kyle, is about 2.5 years older than me.
Okay.
And then Chris is about 3.5 older than him.
And you are the baby.
I am the baby.
So you used to get the shit kicked out of you?
Yeah. I mean, they used to gang up on me a lot. It happens, but it forms you.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Over time, you got to deal with a lot of weird fucking scenarios and things that they decide is going to happen to you.
Yeah, and so I don't ever have that. I was the oldest.
So you were one of the assholes.
So I got to be one of the assholes.
Yeah, it's fun, I bet.
Yeah, I sandpapered my brother's forehead.
You sandpapered the man's forehead.
I sat on him. You know how you can sit on someone's chest and you put your knees on their shoulders?
Oh, yeah.
And I sandpapered my brother's forehead.
Man, you're a dick.
Now, what's funny about that is now that we're adults, and obviously, you know, most of these people don't know my brother.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's a goddamn man now.
Oh, yeah. And who brutalized you?
My brother could annihilate me, like...
He'll sandpaper you.
Right now. About 2 years ago for Christmas, he bought me sandpaper because he thought it was funny.
JD's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he does.
Apparently, you beat that into him over time.
Yeah, it happens. So I can see, like... You being the baby, kind of getting, you know, what did they do to you?
Oh, God, what didn't they do to me? I tattoo Kyle, my middle brother, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he just told me a story that I'd never heard before. Apparently, when we lived in Texas, which is when I was about 18 months to 5 years old in that span.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, him and my oldest brother, Chris, tried to formulate a plan to have a lemonade stand to sell lemonade, and apparently the whole goal behind that stand was to secretly sell me from out of the house. Yeah, dicks, dude.
Oh, so they were going to try to sell you at the lemonade stand?
It was like an up-and-coming neighborhood that apparently houses were built all the time, and they figured there's enough construction workers there, someone will want a kid, and they would just fucking sell me to the highest bidder.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Just dicks. Now, my mom apparently did not let them open up a lemonade stand. And I bet it's because they're idiots and they were just talking out loud about their real goal of this lemonade stand.
Yeah, that's so funny. They were going to sell you.
Yeah, man. They didn't want a little kid in the house. That was it. Kyle was the youngest and they had their mind made up. They don't need another one.
Oh, man. That's craziness.
It is what it is. They didn't get to sell me, so I'm fucking here.
Yeah.
Man, the knee and the shoulder thing. Yeah. Chris, my oldest brother, that was his big thing with us.
Yeah,
he would pin you down and just make you slap yourself with your own hands. His favorite thing was to do spit yo-yos over your head.
Oh,
yeah, right over your face. And my middle brother, Kyle, never got the hang of screaming off to the side. He always looked straight up and screamed with his fucking mouth open. I watched spit fall into his mouth because Chris was laughing at how stupid he was. Landed in his mouth, immediately start puking.
Oh, I can imagine.
And Chris and I just fell over laughing.
Oh, that's
I thought,
so
you
funny.
Idiot. Even I'm younger than you by 2.5 years, and even I knew not to do that.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Kids are dicks, man.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, when you're the youngest, you're the bottom of the barrel.
So you kind of bounce around when you grew up?
Yeah, I was born in Delaware, and apparently they had lived there for about 7 years, I guess, at that point.
Okay.
Because my parents moved there, obviously, when it was just the two of them.
Yeah.
And they started having children there. So after I was born, I think I was about 18 months, we moved to Texas, moved to Tennessee when I was 5, and then moved to Indiana when I was starting 8th grade, and to Michigan, which is where we were in Indiana was just over the border.
Yeah.
Into Niles, Michigan from Elkhart, Indiana. So it's basically right there.
Yeah.
We've been there since I was in 8th grade. They're actually still in the house in Michigan that they built when we were living in Elkhart.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. I can imagine going back to your parents' house and being like, oh boy, the times that I was in here, the things that happened, the things they don't know about.
You know, the Tennessee house caught the most abuse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's when we were, well, I moved there when I was starting 8th grade. So what does that put you, like 12?
Yeah.
12 or 13. And they had lived in that house. You know, they're 3 and 6 years older than me. So that got to see all the weird shit.
Oh, I can imagine.
All the holes in the walls.
Yeah.
All the tantrums. That was that house.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It would be fun seeing that house in person now and just knowing all the things they did. That's what they would take me outside to make me think they were going to play with me. And then I go outside just as to watch my G.I. Joe vehicles blow up with M80s. All those things. You know, I never got my favorite G.I. Joe back. His name was Hit and Run. He's a badass. They brought me outside because they made me think they were going to play with me. And I went outside in the garage just in time to see my favorite G.I. Joe, Hit and Run, get blown in half. And half his body went under the stairs in the garage, and I never got him back.
Oh, man, with the M80.
With an M80. You know, I still remember that. That was probably a non-event to them because they tortured me all the time. And that's one of those things that at 35, I can still remember that event.
That's funny. I hope my kids never hear this. I hope my oldest doesn't hear this and do this to my youngest.
I was going to say, you know, they're going to have their own stories.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
They're going to have their own versions of this, and they're going to rehash it in their 20s and 30s.
I think about the stories I have from growing up, and it's crazy.
Yeah, so you hope that they're modified a little better.
God, I hope so.
But really, like, the world gets worse.
Oh, it sure does.
Because the things that we pulled when we were kids that we thought were bad, kids are doing nowadays without even blinking.
Yeah,
and they're doing worse stuff.
Yeah.
And now with social media, we didn't have that when we were kids. So now with social media, people are doing stuff for recordings. You know, or like Vine videos that are, what, they're like 13 seconds long?
Yeah.
So they want to see the maximum amount of 13 seconds and see how bad can I make this video?
Yeah, and it's out there forever.
Right. We didn't have that motivation when we were kids. We just did stuff because we thought it would be funny.
Yeah. We thought it'd be funny to whoever we were with at the moment.
At that moment, in that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
now people are doing it for posterity, not realizing they're doing it for posterity.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, the kids nowadays have it totally different than we had it.
You know, 100%.
We used to go out and play games with our friends that were nothing, you know, and now kids are, you know, we'd go out and play tag or whatever it would be, and now kids are doing crazy shit on videos, and that's out there forever.
I'm so happy we didn't have videos of the stuff we did when we were kids.
No, I know.
You know, when we lived in Tennessee, as a neighborhood, all of the kids would get together on Friday and Saturday nights, and it was unspoken. We just knew we were going to do it. We'd play this game. It was basically tag with flashlights and like a little bit of abuse.
Yeah.
And it was called German Spotlight. Everybody knew it was called that. The parents knew it was called that. Nobody gave it a second thought, and I didn't realize it until I thought of it as an adult. How bad and racist, really,
yeah,
that is to a group of people.
Yeah, that's rough as hell.
That we were kids laughing about how you'd catch someone with a flashlight, hiding in a bush, kick them real quick, and then run off. Now they're the it. It's basically tag, but, you know, with abuse.
Yeah. Man, that, yeah.
We played it as a whole neighborhood. I'm talking like 30 kids.
So a whole group of kids playing this ultra-racist, ultra...
German Spotlight, man. We all knew. Friday, Saturday night in the summer times, the whole neighborhood plays German Spotlight. We love it. The parents don't care. You know, honestly, like, you being as a parent now, knowing that your kids are out doing something, that's when you get away with stuff as a parent.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when the parents are probably, like, getting a drink together, having a glass of wine, maybe having their sex, whatever, because they knew the kids were going to be out for 2-3 hours.
Yep, absolutely.
Playing German Spotlight. And we as kids just thought, like, oh, this is fun.
Yep, absolutely.
This isn't wrong. It was very wrong.
Yep. No, that's us. You know, I mean, like you said, as a parent, you're like, oh, the kids, we put on a movie. Like, the kids are going to be entertained for an hour.
Right.
Time for some sexy time.
Right, yeah.
Or whatever
it
is.
What do we actually want to do? Let's do that now.
Yeah.
Without witnesses.
So I can imagine, you know, like you said, you go out and play and your parents are probably doing
whatever they do. I bet 80% of those homes, the parents were having sex. And we just thought we were having fun.
Yeah. playing ultra-racist games.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. I honestly can't believe that I have, like, good memories of that and knowing now, like, what it actually meant.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Hilarious.
It doesn't speak volumes for Tennessee as a state.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know where it came from. Nobody knew the origin of it. That's just what we play in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's very socially unacceptable now.
Yes, people would have a lot of problems with it now.
Yeah, all the social justice warriors.
Yes. So back, what was that, like the early 90s?
Yeah.
Not a lot of filters on things back then.
Oh, for sure.
You could get away with all sorts of things. Even in the movies, they got away with stuff.
They sure did.
So just as like a random neighborhood in Brentwood, Tennessee, nobody cared.
That's funny. Oh, man. Well, this has been a lot of fun tonight, and I really enjoyed sitting here with you.
Absolutely.
If you had something to tell anybody out here listening to motivate them, what would it be?
Honestly, it would just be, if you're going to do something, fucking do it. Don't plan it. Don't say, I'm going to do it now, I'm going to do it then, I'm going to do it at this particular time. Just do it. Right that second, right then and there, ball to the wall. If you got a goal, get to that goal as fast as possible.
That's awesome. And I'm really happy to hear that. And honestly, watching you do this has been amazing. It's been a cool journey. I was going to say that I've been part of. I haven't been part of it. I fucking watched you.
If anything, you've been a heckler.
I've sat on the sideline heckling, but it's been cool.
That's motivation in its own way.
It's been really cool to see. I'm fucking proud to call you my friend.
I appreciate it, man.
And I'm fucking happy to have you here tonight.
Absolutely.
Thank
you. This is fun.
Thank you for joining me, buddy.
Yes, sir. The most important thing in this room right now.
Yeah, it really is.
There's a bag in front of it and it's behind a bookcase.
Yep.
What kind of podunk shit is this?